I'm Kelly Beatty, the executive editor of Sky and Telescope, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during March. Spring may be just around the corner, but it's still cold outside, so make sure you're bundled up warmly because you'll want to stay out at least for 15 to 30 minutes to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. The biggest cosmic news this month is that finally, after a drought of 2.5 years, we can look forward to a total lunar eclipse on Saturday evening, March 3rd. On that night, the full moon gradually slides into and out of the shadow cast by Earth in space. It's one of the grandest and most beautiful events in nature. However, where you live will dictate whether you'll get to enjoy this celestial spectacle or watch the moon rise after the show is all over. For you lucky ones across the Atlantic, the entire eclipse can be viewed from Europe, Africa, and Western Asia, where it occurs either late at night or before dawn on March 4th. If you live in the eastern U.S. and Canada, you'll see the eclipse in progress at nightfall. Only in New England, Quebec, and the Maritime provinces does the sky get fully dark before the end of totality. Things get iffier farther west. Anyone east of the Mississippi River will see the moon completely engulfed by Earth's shadow as night falls, but farther west, the moon is only partly in shadow by the time it rises. Unfortunately, if you live west of the Rockies, even the partial eclipse ends before moonrise. Now, we haven't had a total lunar eclipse since October 27, 2004, which coincidentally took place during the decisive Game 4 of the World Series between the Boston Red Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals. Yet this will be the first of 3 total lunar eclipses within the next 12 months. The others will be in late August and next February. You can get detailed information about March 3rd's eclipse at skytonight.com. If you missed the eclipse, or if you're catching this podcast later in March, the silver lining is that the bright moon exits the evening sky early in the month, letting the stars shine in all their glory. Sunset and nightfall come later and later, so your star watching gets pushed deeper into the evening. Because of this, the seasonal shift of the constellations seems to speed up. If you skip a few weeks, you may not even recognize the new sky when you go out. Look south after sunset, and there, in the deepening blue, you'll find the first star of the evening, brilliant Sirius, the Dog Star. How early in twilight can you pick it up? Sirius is the brightest star in the entire sky by a wide margin, aside from our own sun, of course. It's no match for dazzling Venus over in the southwest, but sometimes people still mistake Sirius for a UFO. Sirius is the real star of the winter season, but you can see it throughout much of the year if you know when to look. Sometime in August, it first becomes visible low in the east shortly before dawn. 5,000 years ago, because of the wobble in Earth's spin axis, this first pre-dawn appearance occurred in late June, and ancient Egyptians knew that the first glimpse of Sirius came just before the annual flooding of the Nile River. They worshipped the star as the spirit of the river. And apparently they were also the first to depict the star as a dog. In more recent times, sky watchers realized that the Dog Star rises and sets with the sun during late July, an arrangement in the sky known as a conjunction. Some cultures believe that the heat from Sirius, combined with the heat of the sun, create the hot and sultry weather that often comes in late summer. So they named this period of time, from 20 days before the conjunction to 20 days afterward, the Dog Days. And today we still refer to this sticky weather as the dog days of summer. Okay, let's get back to our chilly March evenings. As dusk deepens, look to Sirius's upper right to spot the mighty constellation Orion, the Hunter. Its two brightest stars are white Rigel, which marks Orion's lower right foot, and orange-red Betelgeuse, his upper left armpit. Midway between them, look for the three-star row of Orion's belt. Now, once you've located Betelgeuse, look to the left for the bright star Procyon. These two stars, together with Sirius, form a big equilateral triangle in the sky, the Winter Triangle. Above Procyon, and nearly overhead, are Pollux and Castor, the stars that mark the heads of Gemini's twins. To the left of Procyon, about 3 times the width of your fist held at arm's length, is slightly brighter Saturn. If you've got a telescope, home in on Saturn for a glimpse of this planet's beautiful rings. Before wrapping up, I'll remind you of 2 notable dates this month. The first is March 11th, which marks the beginning of the new, expanded daylight time here in the U.S. Canada is following our lead, but European countries won't switch for another 2 weeks, and Mexico for another 3. Also, the spring equinox falls this year on March 20th at 8:07 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you like sky watching, note that on this date, the sun rises due east and sets due west, no matter where you are. If you want more sky watching tips, check out Night Sky's official website, skytonight.com. Next month, I'll talk about some celestial carnivores that are stalking upward in the eastern sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.